NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.
The life of a trucker can be a lonely one, but it also offers a certain tranquility. There's something almost meditative about the open road, the steady hum of the engine, and the miles slipping away beneath you. Yet, on that fateful night, tranquility was replaced by terror, a terror that would haunt me for the rest of my days. I was hauling a load of electronics across the country, traveling a remote highway in the deep south. The sun had long since dipped below the horizon, leaving the world in a blanket of inky darkness. The clock read 1:45 a.m., and the radio played a low, soothing tune to keep me company. The highway was desolate, bordered by thick forests that seemed to go on forever. Occasionally, the eyes of nocturnal creatures reflected in my headlights, but otherwise, I was alone. Or so I thought. I first noticed something strange when I stopped at a rest area to stretch my legs and grab a cup of coffee from my thermos. The air was cool and crisp, with a faint smell of pine. I leaned against the hood of my truck, savoring the silence, when a flicker of movement caught my eye. There, at the edge of the parking lot, barely illuminated by the dim lights, stood a figure. It was a man, dressed in old-fashioned clothes, staring intently at me. His face was shadowed, but I could feel his gaze piercing through the darkness. A shiver ran down my spine, but I told myself it was nothing, just another traveler stopping for a rest. I finished my coffee quickly, not wanting to linger. As I climbed back into the cab and pulled out of the rest area, I glanced in the rearview mirror. The man was still standing there, unmoving, watching me drive away. I shook off the unease and focused on the road ahead. Miles passed, and the memory of the man began to fade. I turned up the radio, letting the music drown out my thoughts. But as the hours slipped by, the feeling of being watched grew stronger. I kept glancing at the mirrors, half expecting to see him there, trailing me. Around 3 a.m., fatigue started to set in. I decided to pull over at another rest stop to catch a quick nap. This rest stop was even more isolated, with no other vehicles in sight. I parked under a flickering streetlight and reclined my seat, closing my eyes and letting the exhaustion take over. I must have dozed off, because the next thing I knew, I was jolted awake by a loud thump on the side of the truck. My heart pounded as I sat up, peering through the windows. At first, I saw nothing but the empty rest stop. Then, in the dim light, I saw him, the same man from earlier, standing a few feet away from the truck, his eyes locked on mine. Panic surged through me. I fumbled for my keys, starting the engine with trembling hands. The man didn't move, just stood there, watching. As I pulled out of the rest stop, I couldn't shake the feeling that he was following me, his eyes boring into the back of my head. The road stretched on, endless and empty. The only sound was the roar of the engine and the pounding of my heart. I kept the headlights on high beam, scanning the darkness for any sign of the man. But he was gone, vanished into the night. Or so I thought. About an hour later, I spotted a truck stop up ahead and decided to pull in. I needed a break, some coffee, and a chance to gather my wits. The truck stop was small, with a few other trucks parked and a lone diner that looked like it had seen better days. I parked near the entrance, eager for the warmth and light inside. As I walked towards the diner, I glanced back at my truck and froze. There he was, standing next to my cab, his eyes glowing eerily in the dim light. Fear gripped me, and I bolted for the diner, bursting through the doors and startling the few patrons inside. The waitress behind the counter gave me a concerned look. "You all right, Han?" she asked, her southern drawl thick and comforting. I nodded, trying to catch my breath. Yeah, just thought I saw someone by my truck. Her expression softened. We get a lot of strange folks around here, especially this late. Probably nothing to worry about. I ordered a coffee and sat at a booth near the window, keeping an eye on my truck. The man was gone, but the unease lingered. I sipped my coffee, trying to calm my nerves. The warm liquid did little to chase away the chill that had settled over me. As the minutes ticked by, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. I finished my coffee and decided it was time to hit the road again. The waitress gave me a sympathetic smile as I paid my bill. "Take care out there, hon," she said. I nodded, the words feeling hollow. As I stepped outside, the cold night air hit me like a wall. I walked briskly to my truck, glancing around for any sign of the man. The parking lot was empty, but the hairs on the back of my neck stood on end. I climbed into the cab and locked the doors, starting the engine with a sense of urgency. The headlights cut through the darkness as I pulled out of the truck stop, the road stretching endlessly ahead. I kept my eyes on the mirrors, expecting to see him at any moment. Hours passed, and the road remained empty.
NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
The sun was beginning to rise, casting a pale light over the landscape. I started to relax, telling myself it was all in my head. Just a figment of my imagination brought on by exhaustion. But then, I saw him again. He was standing on the side of the road, just ahead. I slammed on the brakes, the truck skidding to a halt. The man stood there, his eyes glowing with an unnatural light. My heart pounded as I stared at him, paralyzed by fear. He took a step towards the truck, then another. I couldn't move, couldn't think. He was right in front of the cab now, his eyes boring into mine. He raised a hand, and I saw it was covered in blood. "Help me," he mouthed, his voice a whisper in my mind. The spell broke, and I slammed the truck into gear, tearing down the road as fast as I could. I didn't stop until I reached the next town, my heart pounding and my mind racing. I pulled into a gas station and stumbled out of the cab, desperate for human contact. The attendant gave me a concerned look. "You all right, buddy?" he asked. I nodded, too shaken to speak. I filled up the tank and bought a coffee, my hands trembling. As I drove away, I couldn't shake the image of the man's glowing eyes and bloodied hand. To this day, I don't know who or what he was. A ghost, a figment of my imagination, or something else entirely. But every time I drive that stretch of road, I can't help but look in the mirrors, half expecting to see him standing there, watching, waiting. The open road holds many mysteries, and some are better left unexplored. I've been a trucker for nearly two decades, crisscrossing the country and hauling all sorts of loads. Long-haul trips had become second nature to me, and I thought I'd seen it all until that night on that desolate road. It was a trip that would forever haunt my memories. I was on a remote highway, somewhere in the Midwest, far from any signs of civilization. The clock on the dashboard glowed 2 a.m., and the only company I had was the steady hum of the engine and the rhythmic thumping of the tires on the asphalt. The vast emptiness of the landscape stretched endlessly in all directions, a sea of darkness broken only by the faint outlines of distant hills. The road ahead was a narrow, two-lane stretch, flanked by dense woods on either side. The trees, gnarled and twisted, seemed to close in, their branches reaching out like skeletal hands. The air was thick with fog, reducing visibility to just a few feet in front of me. I kept my eyes glued to the road, trying to shake off the creeping sense of unease that had settled over me. As I rounded a bend, my headlights illuminated something in the distance, a figure standing by the side of the road. At first, I thought it was a hitchhiker, but as I got closer, I realized it was a woman. She was dressed in a tattered white dress, her long hair matted and wild. She stood motionless, staring straight at me. I slowed down, intending to offer help. But as I approached, something felt off. Her eyes, reflecting the headlights, were unnaturally bright, almost glowing. I felt a chill run down my spine, and my instincts screamed at me to keep going. I decided against stopping and pressed on, my foot heavy on the gas pedal. In my rearview mirror, I saw her figure fade into the fog, but her glowing eyes remained etched in my mind. I tried to shake it off, telling myself it was just a trick of the light. Yet, the further I drove, the stronger the sense of being watched grew. The darkness seemed to close in, and the fog thickened, wrapping around my truck like a shroud. Miles passed, and the road remained empty. No other vehicles, no signs of life. Just the endless stretch of asphalt and the oppressive darkness. I turned on the radio, hoping for some distraction, but all I got was static. The silence was suffocating. Suddenly, my headlights flickered, and the engine sputtered. Panic surged through me as the truck lurched and slowed. I pulled over to the shoulder, my heart pounding. The engine died, and the headlights went out, plunging me into total darkness. I sat there, gripping the steering wheel, my breaths coming in shallow gasps. The silence was deafening, broken only by the faint rustling of the trees. I fumbled for my flashlight and stepped out of the cab, the cold night air biting into my skin. I popped the hood and shone the flashlight on the engine, but everything seemed fine. As I stood there, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I had the unmistakable feeling of being watched. I turned slowly, the flashlight beam cutting through the fog. There she was, standing a few feet away, her eyes glowing eerily in the darkness. My heart raced, and I backed away, stumbling over my words. "Who are you? What do you want?" She didn't answer, just took a step closer, her movements slow and deliberate. The air grew colder, and my breath came out in visible puffs. I dropped the flashlight in my haste to get back to the cab, the beam casting wild shadows as it hit the ground. I slammed the door shut and locked it, my hands trembling. She was right outside the window now, her face inches from the glass. Her eyes bored into mine. I could feel the weight of her gaze, like icy fingers wrapping around my throat. Desperation took over. I turned the key in the ignition, praying for the engine to start. After a few agonizing moments, it roared to life. The headlights flickered back on, and the woman's figure vanished as if she had never been there. I didn't waste a second. I floored the gas pedal and sped down the road, my eyes darting to the rearview mirror. The fog began to lift, and the trees thinned out, but I couldn't shake the feeling of dread. I drove for hours, not daring to stop until the first light of dawn broke the horizon. When I finally pulled into a truck stop, I was exhausted and on edge. I recounted the night's events to the attendant, who listened with a knowing look. "You're not the first trucker to see her," he said. "They say she was a bride who died in a car crash on this road years ago. Her spirit's been haunting it ever since." The revelation sent a shiver down my spine. I had always been a skeptic, but that encounter changed everything. I still drive the long hauls, but I avoid that stretch of highway. And every time I pass a foggy, desolate road, I can't help but glance in the rearview mirror, half expecting to see those glowing eyes staring back at me. The interstate stretched endlessly before me, a ribbon of asphalt cutting through the darkness. The clock on the dashboard read 11:30 p.m. My eyes were heavy, and the fatigue of countless hours on the road was setting in. I needed a break, some place to stretch my legs and grab a quick bite. The glow of an old neon sign caught my attention, an abandoned truck stopped just ahead. I pulled off the highway and into the gravel parking lot. The truck stop looked like it hadn't seen a customer in years. The once bright neon sign now flickered weakly, casting an eerie glow over the decrepit building. Weeds grew through cracks in the pavement, and the windows were coated with a thick layer of grime. As I stepped out of my rig, the crunch of gravel under my boots was the only sound. The silence was oppressive, pressing down on me like a weight. I approached the building, drawn by a flicker of light from within. The door creaked as I pushed it open, revealing a dimly lit interior. The inside was just as neglected as the exterior. Dust covered every surface, and cobwebs hung from the ceiling like ghostly drapes. The shelves were empty, save for a few rusted cans of food. Alone, flickering fluorescent light cast long shadows across the room, making everything seem more sinister. I headed toward the back, where I hoped to find a restroom. The hallway was narrow and dark, the only illumination coming from the weak light behind me. The smell of mildew and decay filled the air. As I walked, I couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. I chalked it up to my overactive imagination, a result of too many hours spent alone on the road. The restroom door was slightly ajar. I pushed it open, and the hinges squealed in protest. The room was small, with a cracked mirror above a grimy sink and a single, flickering light bulb. I splashed some cold water on my face, trying to shake off the weariness. As I looked up, I saw movement in the mirror's reflection. A shadowy figure darted across the hallway behind me. My heart skipped a beat. I turned quickly, but the hallway was empty. I stood there, listening intently, but the only sound was the faint hum of the flickering light. I told myself it was just my mind playing tricks on me. Still, a sense of unease settled over me like a shroud. I decided to leave the restroom and head back to my truck. As I walked down the hallway, I heard footsteps behind me. I turned around, expecting to see someone, but there was no one there. The footsteps continued, echoing in the empty hallway. I quickened my pace, my pulse racing. Just as I reached the main room, the footsteps stopped abruptly. I glanced around, but there was no sign of anyone. The silence was deafening. I took a deep breath, trying to calm my nerves. Maybe it was just an animal, I thought, trying to convince myself. I walked toward the exit, but something made me pause. A faint whisper, almost inaudible, drifted through the air. I couldn't make out the words, but it sounded like a plea. The hair on the back of my neck stood up. I turned slowly, scanning the room for the source of the sound. In the corner of the room, near the shelves, I saw him. A man, or rather the shadow of a man, stood there, watching me. His eyes were dark pits, and his mouth was moving as if speaking, but no sound came out. He was dressed in clothes from another era, tattered and worn. Fear gripped me. I wanted to run, but my legs felt like lead. The shadowy figure took a step forward, and the whispering grew louder. I could finally make out the words, "Help me." My mind raced. Who was he? What did he want? The sense of dread was overwhelming. I forced myself to move, inching toward the exit. The figure followed, his movements slow and deliberate. The whispering became a chorus of voices, all pleading for help. I reached the door and threw it open, the cold night air hitting me like a slap. I stumbled out, my breath coming in ragged gasps. I sprinted to my truck, not daring to look back. As I fumbled for the keys, I heard the whispers again, closer this time. I jumped into the cab and slammed the door shut. The engine roared to life, and I peeled out of the parking lot, gravel flying. In the rearview mirror, I saw the figure standing in the doorway, watching me leave. His eyes glowed faintly in the darkness. I drove for miles, not daring to stop until I reached a well-lit, bustling truck stop. I parked and sat there, my hands trembling on the steering wheel. The whispers still echoed in my mind, and the image of the shadowy figure haunted my thoughts. I never went back to that old truck stop. I made sure to avoid that route altogether. But sometimes, late at night, when the road is empty and the darkness presses in, I can still hear the whispers. And I wonder if he's still there, waiting for someone to help him, or if he's found another traveler to haunt. The night was darker than usual, with a dense fog enveloping the rural route I had been traveling for hours. As a trucker, I was used to long, lonely stretches of road, but something about that night felt off. The fog clung to my truck, making the headlights barely pierce through the thick whiteness. The rhythmic hum of the engine was my only companion. I glanced at the dashboard clock, 2:47 a.m. Just another late night on the road, I told myself. I needed to push through a few more hours before I could rest. Suddenly, my headlights caught a figure standing on the side of the road. It was rare to see anyone out here, especially at this hour. As I drew closer, I could make out the silhouette of a man, his thumb extended in the universal gesture for a hitchhiker. Something in me said to keep driving, but the rules of the road for truckers were to help when you can. So, I pulled over, the hiss of the brakes cutting through the silence. The man approached the passenger side, his face obscured by the shadow of his hood. "Need a ride?" I asked, trying to keep my voice steady. "Yeah, thanks," he replied, his voice rough and barely audible. He climbed in, and the smell of damp earth filled the cab. We drove in silence for a few miles. The fog seemed to thicken, and I had to squint to see the road. The hitchhiker stared straight ahead, his hands clasped tightly in his lap. I stole glances at him, trying to make sense of his presence. His clothes were ragged, and his face, when the light hit it just right, looked gaunt and pale. "Where are you headed?" I asked, hoping to break the eerie silence. "Just up the road," he replied curtly. Minutes felt like hours. I couldn't shake the feeling of unease that crept over me. The fog played tricks on my eyes, making the trees on the roadside appear like twisted figures. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw him smiling. Not a friendly smile, but one that sent chills down my spine. "You okay, buddy?" I asked, trying to mask the tremor in my voice. He turned his head slowly, the smile never leaving his face. "Do you believe in ghosts?" he asked, his voice barely above a whisper. My heart skipped a beat. "I don't really think about that stuff," I replied, trying to sound nonchalant. "You should," he said, his eyes locking onto mine. "They're everywhere." The air in the cab grew colder, and I felt a shiver run down my spine. I tightened my grip on the steering wheel, my knuckles turning white. The road seemed endless, the fog an impenetrable wall around us. Suddenly, the hitchhiker's demeanor changed. He leaned forward, his eyes wild. "Stop the truck," he yelled. I slammed on the brakes, the truck skidding to a halt. The hitchhiker jumped out and disappeared into the fog. I sat there, heart pounding, trying to make sense of what just happened. My mind raced with questions. Who was he? Why why did he want out so suddenly? I decided to keep driving, eager to put distance between myself and that unsettling encounter. As I drove, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. I glanced in the rearview mirror and nearly drove off the road. The hitchhiker was standing in the middle of the road, staring at my truck with that same eerie smile. I sped up, wanting to get as far away as possible. But no matter how fast I drove, the feeling of being watched persisted. The fog seemed to press in on me, making the road feel like a never-ending tunnel. The radio crackled to life, but instead of music or news, there was static interspersed with whispers. I tried to focus on the road, but the whispers grew louder, more insistent. "Turn back," they seemed to say. "You can't escape." My hands were shaking, my breaths coming in shallow gasps. The road stretched on, an endless ribbon of asphalt in the fog. The whispers grew louder, and I realized they were coming from the passenger seat. I turned my head slowly, dread pooling in my stomach. The hitchhiker was back, sitting calmly as if he'd never left. "You can't escape," he said, his voice blending with the whispers. "This road is ours." Panic set in. I floored the accelerator, the engine roaring in protest. The hitchhiker laughed, a sound that echoed in my mind. "It's no use," he said. "We always find you." The truck shuddered, the lights flickering. I felt a cold hand on my shoulder, and I screamed, the sound lost in the roar of the engine and the whispers that surrounded me. The last thing I saw before everything went black was the hitchhiker's face, twisted into a grotesque grin. When I came to, it was daylight. I was parked on the side of the road, the truck idling quietly. There was no sign of the hitchhiker. I checked my watch, it was just after 6 a.m. Had it all been a nightmare? I started driving again, the normalcy of daylight calming my nerves. I never picked up another hitchhiker again.
NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.